And now, In-Flight Entertainment is proud to present Marauder Radio.
Men are all alike. 7 or 8 quick ones and you're off with the boys. To boast and brag. You better keep your mouth shut. Oh, I think I love him.
Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon.
You may be right.
Oh, it looks good on you, though.
I may be crazy, but it just may be a lunatic you're looking for.
I don't have a problem.
Oh, okay. Good
noise. And now, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the host of Marauder Radio, your lunatic lover and poet, Mr. Bob Zima.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to you, and welcome especially to you. Hey, happy Sunday, everybody. This is Bob Zima, the cafe's resident lunatic lover and poet, and the host of Marauder Radio, coming to you live from the Grumpy Gator Cafe. Oh, yeah. We are live. Hold on a second. I need to let my Alexa friend know that I'm on the air and that I need her to be quiet for a second. So give me a moment. 1, 2, 3. Alexa, stop. There she goes. She stopped. I've got my new webcam going today, so we're giving that a whirl. If you're listening on YouTube, or actually you would be listening and watching on YouTube, if you're listening and watching on YouTube, welcome. Welcome to the showgram. Welcome to the Grumpy Gator Cafe. Welcome to Marauder Radio Live. This is where my podcast, arg, mateys, it's pirate podcasts for male mental wellness. This is where it gets created. See, I record the show live on Sundays at 9 a.m. Central. You can listen live to the radio showgram on Blog Talk Radio. You can also watch and listen live on my YouTube channel. I stream everything on my live YouTube channel. It'll be fun to get a streamer or somebody watching the stream. It'll be really fun when 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 people actually watch the live stream. But you know how these things are. They have to grow. They have to grow slowly. But for Marauder Radio, for mental wellness, you can listen live on Blog Talk Radio. You can watch and listen live on YouTube. Whether you're watching on YouTube or you're listening live on Blog Talk Radio Sunday mornings, you can always be a part of and join and have a seat on the world's largest therapy couch by calling in. Right now, you can grab your phones. You can call 515-605-9800. Again, 515-605-9800. That's right here. You can call in, share your thoughts, your experiences, your impressions. Disagree with me. You know, say, hey, Bob, you're FOS, my man. Disagree with me. Agree with me. Again, like I said, share your own experiences. You can do that. One of the reasons why I love doing this live is because I enjoy live radio. Always have, always will. Got my start in media many, many moons ago doing live radio. And spent a lot of time in the radio, television, and film industry until the early 2000s when I went back to graduate school and got a master's degree in counseling psychology. And voila, here we are today. But Marauder Radio is about creating media mayhem for male mental wellness predominantly. I'm focused on guys because I think we don't focus enough on guys when it comes to mental health. And I think it's important that men, males, guys, whatever you want to say, have access to mental health tailored and flavored in a way that works best for guys. And sometimes I'm just the guy to do it. So that's what happens here on this show. Now, if you're not a guy, not a male, not a man, doesn't matter. These ideas, concepts, thoughts, hey, work perfectly well for anybody, regardless of body parts. Or if you know a guy you think that could benefit from listening, please don't shove it down their throat. Don't say, oh, you got to listen to this. Oh, we're going to improve our marriage or our relationship. Oh, I'm going to help you deal with that anger thing you've got. Here, listen to this on the train or in the car or while you're trying to watch NCAA basketball. During the commercials, listen to this great live radio show that now has become a podcast, because that's what happens, right? At the end of the day, I take the YouTube live stream, I cut it up, I slice and dice it, and it becomes videos right here on the YouTube channel, both shorts and longer videos. But the same thing happens with Marauder Radio for Mental Wellness Live, where I cut it up, slice and dice it, put it out as smaller bite-sized podcast episodes. Because I've come to the conclusion, folks, that now there was a point where we couldn't communicate unless we had 140 characters or less. That didn't really work, so now we can communicate with more characters. But I am finding with YouTube Shorts, TikTok, hey, we have an attention span of about 2 minutes. I've even noticed it myself. I have trouble watching longer videos on YouTube these days because I'm so much wanting that instant gratification that comes with either the YouTube Shorts or TikTok. But all this material gets sliced and diced and distributed in lots of different ways. So I believe in reuse, recycle, repurpose when it comes to media. That's right. So I just want to get started today. I took my notes for those of you that wonder, oh my gosh, how does this show come together? How does that man come up with these concepts? Couple things. Number one, it is when I am talking to my clients. I'm a clinical therapist. I'm a licensed clinical professional counselor in the state of Illinois. I maintain a private practice where I work with male individuals and couples. And occasionally we have various conversations on topics. And I think, you know, that'd be a great topic to discuss on Marauder Radio. I get mail, email, bob@bobzima.com. Not very complicated. Go to my primary website, bobzima.com. Also on my podcast pages, you'll find ways to connect with me. So someone will send an email or complete a form and say, hey, can you talk about XYZ? And then just general living. You know, I'm a guy, been married over 30 years now, have two grown children, have four cats, which is technically now called a clowder, because when you have three or more cats, you have a clowder. So now we have a clowder. I have two dogs. I travel. I speak. I move about the country. So when I'm moving about the country or sitting on an aircraft or sitting in an airport or just, you know, sitting at my kitchen table having coffee in the morning, I suddenly have this idea and I go, that'll be great for the radio show, Graham. And I put it all together. That'll be great for the radio show, Graham. But I've been talking long enough, folks. I think it's time that we get into the radio show, Graham, today. We're going to talk about a couple of concepts. One, is this healthy and effective behavior? Is this healthy and effective behavior? Two things I ask all my clients to ask themselves when they're wondering, is my life working? Is something not working? We ask, is that behavior healthy and effective? We'll talk a little bit about that. We're also going to talk about procrastination. Yeah, I've been meaning to get around to this one, but just have seemed to, you know, you get it. And we're going to talk about the myth of hard work and it becoming a success. So the myth in America that if you work hard, everything will come your way. If you work hard, success will come your way. So we're going to talk about those three things in just one moment. So stay with us. I'll be back in 1 minute.
Personally, I give us one chance in three.
You figured, oh, here's a loser, you know, a deadbeat.
Well, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
Every day is a gamble.
I figure if I wake up in the morning, I'm a winner.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Green Acres is the place to be. Farm living is the life for me. Land spreading out to far and wide. Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the beautiful Grumpy Gator Cafe. My name is Bob Zima, and I am the cafe's resident lunatic lover and poet and the host of Marauder Radio for Male Mental Wellness Live. That's right, we're live on the radio every Sunday, 9 o'clock Central Time, Blog Talk Radio. You can find all sorts of information on my website, my podcasts, my blog. So lots of places to be reminded of the live radio showgram every Sunday. And you can watch it on YouTube. That's right. We stream it on YouTube. Let's start talking, asking yourself the concept of, is my behavior healthy? Is my behavior effective? Now, a lot of people like to say things like, oh, that's not good. Oh, I should stop that. Oh, I must stop that. Oh, I got to stop that, right? You know, we find that we have a behavior is not exactly getting us what we want. It's a behavior that's not exactly working for us, right? It could be anything, right? It could be, well, I got to quit doing XYZ at home. I got to quit doing XYZ with my kids. I got to quit doing XYZ at work. And the problem with that is twofold. Number one, it's a gross overgeneralization. And when we grossly overgeneralize something, we traditionally, typically as human beings, screw up our ability to make any kind of behavioral modification. It's just too broad, right? It's the old notion of how do you eat an elephant? Well, one bite at a time, of course. That's how you eat an elephant, one bite at a time. And so when we overgeneralize, right, we get mad at ourselves. Oh, my gosh, I got to quit getting frustrated. I just have to stop getting frustrated at night when I'm trying to watch a basketball game and my spouse or partner says to me, you need to put the dishes from the sink into the dishwasher. Yes, I know. But it irritates me. It frustrates me because I already know and I have a plan to get it done, but I haven't gotten to it yet. And then I say, well, I haven't gotten to it yet. And the response is, well, you never get to it. I'm always the one putting the dishes from the sink in the dishwasher. And we become annoyed. We become frustrated. You might say something. We might say something, right? The proverbial we. I'd say something like, you know, out of frustration, out of annoyance. And then that doesn't work because it creates tension in our relationship. And what do? We immediately assume two things. Number one, I'm the problem because I'm the one who initiated the behavior. Number two, I've got to stop that behavior because it's messing with my happiness because it's creating tension in my life. And what do? We assume that just us unilaterally stopping that behavior will feed health into the relationship, which may be true. It may also be way off base. So you have to ask yourself, is my behavior healthy? Is it effective? So for example, if one of these things you want to try to modify, you want to try to control, you want to try to change one of your behaviors, because at the end of the day, we control two things. How we think about and interpret things, and how we respond. We control our thinking. We control our acting. That's it. We have choice. We have power. Dare I say it, we have control, our ability to manage and drive how we think and how we act. Emotions in the middle, thinking, feeling, acting, are driven by how we think, right? They're driven by how we think, emotion. So you cannot control, manage, manipulate emotions. You can manage, manipulate, control, make decisions about, take responsibility for thoughts that drive emotion. And then how you choose to express those thoughts and emotions through behavior, you can again manage, decide, control, manipulate, maneuver, whatever verb you want to use. So thought and behavior are the two things we control. And then once we behave, once we act, once we put it out there, once we respond, once we put the ball in play, there's an outcome. Others are responding, or we see the impact or the results of our own behavior. Then we interpret that outcome. We interpret the impact of our own behavioral choice, and the whole process starts all over again. And this goes on and on and on forever. So this is why we look at, was that behavioral choice, what I chose to do, how I chose to respond, was it healthy? Was it effective? Now, I know what you're going to say to me. You're going to say, Bob, I don't recall choosing to act that way. It just happened, man. It just happened. And that's true. Because some of our behaviors, when we do them often enough, frequently enough, long enough, become what we call automatic. We're not even thinking about it. Consider the last time you drove home from work, for those of you that still go into the office. Do you remember every time you turned on the turn signal and made a left or right turn? Do you remember every time you braked? Is it braked? Every time you broke, every time you stepped on that pedal to the left of the gas. Do you remember stopping at red lights, at stop signs? Do you remember accelerating when it was your chance to go? Do you remember turning the radio on or off? Do you remember ignoring that text? Behaviors, when we do them often enough or frequently enough, and we do them consistently for a certain duration, become automatic. And this is what happens with some of our behaviors, right? So we're stressed, we're frustrated, we reach for a White Claw. It's Miller time, baby. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. We reach for a beverage. And what happens? It works. We relax. We take the edge off. It's Miller time. So consuming a beer, having a shot of Screwball whiskey, among my favorites these days, having a shot of whiskey with a beer chaser, right? Having a glass of wine. That is incredibly effective. It takes the edge off. When we're hungry and we swing by Mickey D's and we order a cheeseburger and we eat it, it's effective because it resolves our hunger. We think, I'm hungry. We think, Mickey D's. We think drive-through. We communicate effectively to resolve a problem, hunger. We eat the cheeseburger. Problem solved through behavior. Healthy, depends on how you view a McDonald's cheeseburger, because there's physical health and there's emotional health. So is there psychological health, right? Is there physical health with eating at McDonald's? Once in a while, it's probably not bad for you. I'm sure my cardiologist would like me to stop eating there as frequently as I do. But is it healthy? For the most part, physically, psychologically, I'm solving a problem. I'm resolving an issue. I'm feeling good about it. And it works. I'm no longer hungry. I'm no longer stressed. I'm no longer anxious when I have that glass of alcohol. It's effective. It took the edge off. I'm no longer stressed. I'm no longer tense. When I yelled at my wife for waking me up in the middle of the night because my CPAP machine was making whining sounds, or I'm disappointed and frustrated with my wife and give her a little bit of a verbally, because she said she'd be home at a certain time. I anticipated that time. I anticipated she helping me with the dogs. And then hour past the time she was due, she texts, finishing up with friends, see you soon. me knowing full well that it's St. Patrick's Day, and what did she do? She went out for some beverages. And then I respond. I blow off some steam. I'm frustrated. I'm annoyed. It's effective because it gets rid of that frustration and that annoyance. I expel it. I expel the physiological and emotional responses that occur when I'm thinking certain things. And then when I expel that, it feels good. So it is effective. But is it healthy? Is my annoyance and frustration and the way in which I express it, is it healthy for me, for my relationship? Is drinking too many beers, having too many shots of screwball whiskey, too many glasses of wine, does that now move into being unhealthy? If I have one beer and I slowly drink it while having dinner or conversation with family and friends and I take the edge off, or if I'm sitting with a shot of screwball whiskey and I'm watching college basketball and I enjoy it and I have one, is it healthy? Is it effective? Probably. If I have one McDonald's cheeseburger, I'm hungry, I'm out and about, I've got some errands, I'm going to pull into the drive-thru, I resolve my problem, it's effective. The one shot, when my wife comes home, if I talk to her in a kind and compassionate way, using immediacy, saying, hey, I thought this, it made me feel this way, this is what happened. If I communicate effectively, then it's healthier, right? For me, for the relationship, it's effective because I can still expel my frustrations and annoyances, but I do it in a way that is more productive for me and the relationship, i.e. healthy. When things go sideways for you, when you're engaging in behaviors that you suddenly decide, man, I've got to stop what I'm doing, ask yourself two things. Is this behavior healthy for me, for my relationship with whomever I'm frustrated with? Because inevitably, behaviors occur when we're facilitating a connection to a person, place, or thing. I do things to get my own needs met, and I do things within the context of connections to people, places, and things. So ask yourself the next time you're thinking, I really got to stop doing this, I really got to stop doing that, ask yourself, is what I'm doing healthy and effective or unhealthy and ineffective? Because 9 times out of 10, the behavior is one or the other, and this is where it becomes a problem for us. Because if it's effective, we do it because it works. But it leads to unhealth. Overdoing my alcohol consumption to take the edge off becomes unhealthy for me physically, psychologically. It becomes unhealthy for my connections. May damage my marriage. May damage my friendships. May put my job in jeopardy because I have a connection to a job, to an employer, to a profession. And so even though consuming alcohol may be effective for me, it's leading to unhealthy outcomes. It is challenging, stressing, and tensing my connections. Something can be highly healthy, but incredibly ineffective. If I'm in a relationship with someone who bullies me, I can use all of the healthy coping, problem solving, and communications I know. I can use empathy. I can use immediacy. If you're wondering what the hell are empathy and immediacy, check out some other podcasts. I can use immediacy. I can use empathy. I can focus on people not being the problem, but really trying to solve the problem. I can be super healthy. But what I'm doing is ineffective. It's not resolving the tension in relationships. It's not getting me what I want and what I need. And before you make a decision to end a behavior or cut it out of your life, or before you put yourself under a great deal of pressure where you want to change, you got to modify something, ask yourself, is what I'm doing healthy and effective, or is it unhealthy and ineffective? Now, a lot of times, like I said, it could be healthy and ineffective, or effective and unhealthy. If you get an answer of yes to one or the other or both, then it's time to start thinking about modifying and changing that behavior. Yes, my overconsumption of alcohol is highly unhealthy, but it's effective. Okay, I need to make some modifications. Yes, my use of good, healthy coping, problem solving, and communication skills is highly healthy. It's highly efficient, but it's ineffective. I'm not getting what I want, which is to improve my relationships. No matter how well I deal with the stress of a terrible boss, it's not helping. It's not effective. It's not resolving the issues. And so it's not that behavior you want to end necessarily or change. You've got to look at the whole picture and make some good decisions all the way around.
89 WLS.
Don't get me wrong, he seems like a nice guy, but my father's a nice guy, and he's not funny either.
If this is some kind of practical joke, it's not funny.
Don't you know a joke when you hear one?
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
You're going to need a bigger coach.
Hi, everybody. It's Bob Zima, and I want to tell you about my healing video, Grief is Like a Vacuum, It Sucks, that is available on Amazon's Instant Video Store. Here's what it's all about.
You know, grief is like a vacuum, because it sucks. We sense when a storm is coming. Nobody wants to be known as a griever. We know when a storm is coming. We do everything in our life to avoid grief, and sometimes we just stay out in the rain. We go out of our way to avoid the pain of loss and the process of grief, and get out of the rain and get out of the storm and find that shelter and that hope.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm.
First and foremost, grief, the thing we all dread, the thing we all try to stay away from, is a healing process. This video is designed to help you develop your own unique style and process of grieving. It's about you discovering how you heal. This video is going to challenge you to find the grieving processes and the coping techniques that are going to work best for you.
You can buy my video or simply rent it via the Amazon Instant Video Store, and it's just a couple of bucks. Hey, for a couple of dollars, will you start your healing today? Cruise on over to BobZima.com to find out how you can download or purchase Grief is Like a Vacuum, It Sucks. Hello again, everybody, and welcome back to the beautiful Grumpy Gator Cafe. My name is Bob Zima, and I am the cafe's resident lunatic, lover, and poet, and the host of Marauder Radio. Arg, mateys, it's pirate podcast or pirate radio for male mental wellness. And glad you're still with us here on the live radio stream. We have a live radio stream because it's on the internet. But a live radio broadcast and then a YouTube stream every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Feel free to join us for male mental wellness. But if you want to call in and you're listening live on Blog Talk Radio at this time, you can call 515-605-9800. Be part of the show, Graham. Share your thoughts, comments, ideas. 515-605-9800. if you're listening to the podcast and want to know what it's like to listen to the show, Graham, Get Created, join us Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on either Blog Talk Radio or YouTube, the live YouTube stream. So I want to talk about something I've been meaning to talk about for a while, but I haven't gotten around to it. I just simply have not gotten around to it. It's been something I've been wanting to do, something I've been wanting to talk about, something I've been wanting to share, and that is procrastination. I had a little bit of figment in my mind there, and I was thinking procrastination. Maybe we'll let figment sing it moving forward. Procrastination, right? As the old joke I used to say all the time is April is National Procrastination Month. Well, it would have been. They just never got around to getting it officialized. Many of us, as we kick ourselves a new, or we kick our butts, we tear ourselves a new butthole. There we go. Many of us will want to change behaviors, or if people ask us, what's one thing you change about yourself? A lot of people allude to something that has to do with procrastination. You know, oh, I'd like to be better at, oh, I want to stop thinking about doing blank. Oh, I want to, you know, I need to get blank done. Oh, I've got this huge list of things that I'm trying to get done. But procrastination is a huge impasse for many of us when it comes to finding mental wellness, when it comes to being mentally well. Procrastination across the board impacts everybody. You start thinking about the things that you may be procrastinating about or over. When you think about the things that you're just not getting done, when you think about how you would want to change the way in which you approach management of your life, remember what I said in the first segment. Ask yourself, is my behavior healthy and effective, unhealthy or ineffective, or a combination of the two? Many of us and many of the clients I see through telehealth therapy will tell me that their procrastination is often ineffective. In fact, it is ineffective nearly every time because people are not getting done what they want to get done. People are not achieving what it is they want to achieve. People just simply aren't, you know, engaging in Nike therapy. They just don't do it. Nike therapy. Sometimes, folks, the best therapy ever. Don't tell Mr. Knight because then I'm sure he'll want some royalties. But Nike therapy, just do it. But there's something that gets in the way of us just doing it. Therefore, many people see their procrastination behaviors or behaviors that create procrastination, because there can be a few. There could be a collage of different behaviors that get in the way. Those behaviors are highly ineffective. Sometimes they're healthy, right? Sometimes they're healthy. Sometimes I just don't want to do the laundry. I just don't want to mow the lawn. I just don't want to work on putting the new roof on the garage. I'd rather go fishing, go sailing, go racing, go for a hike. I'd rather spend time with my children. Why am I up on the roof of the garage? You know. And so sometimes we think they are also unhealthy. I should be spending time with my family. Self-care, people, self-care. If I work 60 hours a week and then come home on the weekend and do nothing but chores around the house, I've been told by my pastor, by my counselor, by my friends, I need to do more self-care. And so we convince ourselves that not getting things done or dealing with the tension that comes from not getting things done, we tell ourselves that's healthy, but we know how ineffective those behaviors and those choices are because we don't get things done. Then we start to beat ourselves up. Oh, my God, why did I choose to do that? Why did I go to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch the NCAA tournament when I could have been doing yard work, when I could have been bundling sticks and getting them ready for pickup? when I could have been putting a roof on the garage, when I could have been replumbing my house, why did I go to Buffalo Wild Wings with my family? I know it's tradition. Hoops and wings. They go together. I know it's tradition during our NCAA tournament, but doggone it, there are things that need to get done around the house. Why did I not apply for that new job? Why do I keep taking the crap that I take from my current employer? Why am I not getting on Indeed? Why am I not applying for jobs? Why am I not updating my resume? Because, like I said in the first session, your choices to not do something are in some ways healthy or effective for you. And until you understand the full concept, until you understand the full perception, it's almost impossible to change behavior. But let's talk about procrastination. I think of procrastination as a continuum of three things. So when we don't get stuff done, when we see ourselves as ineffective, when we see ourselves as inefficient, when we get frustrated with the growing list of to-dos, when we get frustrated with our inability to cross things off that list, there are three parts of a continuum when it comes to procrastination. And so the first step, after you ask yourself, is my choice to not get something done, was that healthy or effective or both? Did it lead to an unhealthy or ineffective or both outcome? Once you get that done, and if you're listening to the podcast, go back and listen to Healthy and Effective, you know. But in procrastination, there are three segments that we can say to ourselves, because a behavior that is unhealthy or ineffective is going to fall in one of these three categories, one of these three areas on the continuum. Am I avoiding that thing? Am I avoiding it? So when I decide to go to Buffalo Wild Wings and watch hoops and have some wings and have a good time with my family because it's tradition, am I avoiding the yard work? Am I avoiding changing the oil in my 15-year-old vehicle that I want to keep going because I don't want to put new money into a new car? Am I avoiding putting that roof on the garage? Am I avoiding plumbing the house or replumbing? Am I avoiding it? Am I simply avoiding doing it? Or is it more intense than that? Am I resisting? Am I really resisting it? I feel a lot of pressure. Oh, God, I really don't want to do it. No, I don't want to do that. You know, there's avoiding. Hey, you know, I can do it next week. Oh, I got time. I got time. I can do the yard cleanup next weekend because, hey, it's pretty open. I don't have any hockey games. I'm not playing golf yet because it's too early in the season. I've got some time. So you know what? I can balance going out with the family, maintaining my connections there, being a part of the family, enjoying a tradition, having fun with my family. I can do that and move the yard work or the plumbing or the roofing or whatever it is I'm doing around the house, working on my car, because holy shnikes, the new car payments are astronomical. So that's more of an avoidance. One might even argue that that's a very healthy and effective approach for creating balance in our life. Right. But I'm like, I really don't want to do that today. I got some time. So I'm going to avoid doing that. I'm going to do something else. Then there's resistance, a little more intense. Right. Oh, God, no. Oh, God. Oh, I don't really want to do that. Oh, my God. The thought of coming home after a hard day's work and then working on building a business. Oh, my God. The thought of coming home and helping my wife with our cottage industry business or helping my spouse. Oh, God. There's a resistance, a little more intense. We feel a lot more pressure. We start to feel it build. This is where often unhealthy and ineffective responses come. So we're already stressed. We're already resistant. We get home. We don't want to do it. And we engage in a behavior to help us deal with that tension, help us deal with that stress. Maybe it's drinking. Maybe we get frustrated with the kids or our spouse or, frustrated with the dog because the dog's annoying us. and then we respond and we blow off that steam in an unhealthy and ineffective way. But what's really unhealthy and ineffective is our lack of dealing with the resistance that we feel. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So we have avoidance, we have resistance, and then the third one, the final one, is defiance. We become just defiant. There is no way on God's green earth we're going to do this thing. There is no way, I mean, short of hell freezing over, no way am I ever going to do this. I'm not going to get it done. We resist, right? Usually things we feel forced to do. Usually things we feel like we have zero choice to do. We can resist in our workplace. We can resist at home. We can resist with our friends. We can even resist with things that we want to do. Even the things that we enjoy lead to things that we don't want to do, right? You love camping, but you hate cleaning out the tank where all the waste goes. You can avoid it. Oh, I'll do it next time. You can be resistant. Oh, I really don't want to do that. Maybe I'll assign it to my kid. Or you can be defiant. Hell no, I'm not doing that again. I'll give you one example. When I was a kid, I had to empty the dishwasher as my household choice, as my household chore. Wasn't a choice. It was my household chore. Even to this day, as a grown adult in a grown marriage that's been around for 30 plus years, three decades, I still say to my wife, I'm not emptying the dishwasher. I am defiant. Sometimes I'm resistant. But I'm defiant around her. I'm resistant when she's not home. I'll resist doing it. When she says, oh, you don't never empty the dishwasher, or hey, could you empty the dishwasher, I become defiant. Hell no. That's traumatic for me. I had to do that every morning as a kid before I went to school. I'm not doing it. I'm exerting my autonomy. I am planting my freak flag. I become defiant. That defiance can lead to unhealthy and ineffective outcomes in my marriage. My resistance can lead to unhealthy, ineffective things with me and in my marriage. There are times I don't resist. I will empty the dishwasher. In the middle of the day when I'm at home working, seeing clients, I get a break. I have time off. I have an hour that I haven't sold or an hour that is a break time for me, and I may notice the dishwasher needs emptying. My wife ran it last night. She's at work. I'll go ahead and empty it. Yeah, that leads to a healthy and effective choice. A, I get something done. I feel proud of myself. Two, the dishwasher gets emptied. She's aware of that. If I'm expecting her to come home and fawn all over me and go, oh my gosh, thank you for emptying the dishwasher. You're the greatest husband ever. I really appreciate it. Oh my God, thank you. If I'm expecting her to do that, that may be unhealthy and ineffective as well, because then I don't get what I'm looking for. I don't get what I want, and it puts stress and tension on the relationship. But I don't go there. When I don't resist, I don't procrastinate, I get something done, it's because it's healthy for me to be a part of the family chores. It's healthy for me to do something that my wife knows I don't like doing, and she usually can't rely on me or count on me to get it done. So procrastination, I sometimes avoid things, I resist things, I'm defiant to things. It's very important to know which of these areas you fall into. When you resist and are defiant, that behavior to resist and defy usually leads to unhealthy and ineffective outcomes for you, your relationships, your job, your career, your friendships, which would be the same thing as your relationships, because we have a connection to a job, an employer, coworkers, friends. So when we are resistant and we are defiant, we tend to put more pressure on our connections, which tends to lead to unhealthy and very ineffective outcomes. When we have unhealthy and very ineffective outcomes, our life is circling the toilet bowl. From a therapeutic standpoint, we want to look for healthy and effective ways to deal with procrastination, no matter where you're at on that continuum. The first thing therapeutically I ask clients all the time is, Are you aware of your procrastination? Are you aware that you're either avoiding, resisting, or defying? Because if you can put your marker on one of those three areas on the continuum, now you have awareness. And awareness is the first step in many journeys and adventures into the idea of having mental wellness. Are you aware? Second thing, when you resist or avoid, resist, and defy, what happens? Can you describe for me, can you share in a narrative the outcomes? When you avoid, resist, or defy something, what happens? If you can articulate, well, you know, I don't get stuff done. I get really angry with myself. I get really frustrated. Sometimes I'll even hit myself. Sometimes I get so frustrated and annoyed, I will just go hit something else. I'll hit the bottle. I'll hit the wall with my hand. I'll hit myself. Wow. Now you ask yourself, like we said in the first segment, are those behaviors healthy and effective? Most people will say hitting the bottle, hitting the wall, hitting themselves, not healthy. Maybe effective because it gets rid of the stress, the tension, the building energy that comes from us thinking, oh my God, I'm a loser. I can't get stuff done. What the heck is wrong with me? So can be effective to have this little steam outburst, so to speak. Right? We build up so much tension and stress thinking about how we're a loser, how we're never going to get anything done, how we can't seem to be an adult, beating ourselves up right here in the old drive-in theater that is between our ears. We're thinking, evaluating about ourselves. We're impacting our own self-concept. It builds physiological and emotional energy that comes out. Coming out is good, makes us feel better, takes the pressure off. We release some steam, right? It's effective, but it's highly unhealthy if we're punching the wall. Every time I go to hang a picture, I can't find a stud to save my life. But if I get angry enough and I punch the wall, holy shnikes, I find a stud. And what is that? Not physically healthy, hurt myself. Emotionally, psychologically unhealthy, but it's effective. Most people will tell you, even as they stand there with two busted fingers, or they've had too much to drink, or they've hit themselves, or they've taken it out on somebody else by verbally puking all over them, they'll say, yeah, I feel better. So it's effective, but it's highly unhealthy. So you have awareness that you're avoiding, resisting, or defying. You have insight if you can tell me what happens when you resist, when you avoid, resist, or defy. You can also have the insight because you tell me whether the way in which you avoid, resist, or defy is healthy or unhealthy, effective or ineffective. The first step in creating healthier, more effective behaviors so that you can address your avoidance, resistance, and defiance and begin to address your procrastination as a whole is to verbalize what it is you want to get done. Verbalize it. Tell somebody. You tell somebody what you want to do over the weekend, you suddenly become accountable. Now, this can also create stress because it can go sideways at any point in this process. But you want to verbalize it. You need to externalize it. You need to say what your intentions are. I want to get XYZ done this weekend. I ask my wife almost every day, what's on your agenda, particularly on the weekends, because I too have an agenda. And sometimes my avoidance, resistance, and defiance of getting certain things done are because I'm placating to her agenda. It helps me avoid, resist, or defy. But I make myself look like a great husband because I'm putting something on hold to help her when in reality, I'm just helping myself. Avoid, resist, or defy. But how long does that last? Because when I get to the end of the day and I realize I didn't get this or this or this done, but I sure helped out my wife, which is a load of crap because I was helping myself, it's a double-edged sword. It's a double whammy. So we want to verbalize. We want to externalize. And then once we verbalized, once we externalized, what do I mean by externalize? Write it down. Put it on a list. Put it on the whiteboard. Use your tablet, whatever. If you're not going to verbalize to somebody what your agenda is each and every day, then write it down. Get it out. Once you verbalize and externalize, you can take three steps to reducing procrastination. What are those three steps? You're either going to delegate what needs to be done. I really don't want to walk around in the back and pick up all the poop from my dogs. So I'm going to delegate that. I'm going to have my kid do it because, after all, that's why I had kids, to do the chores I don't want to do. That's right, folks. It rolls downhill. And when I was a kid and I was picking up poop in my yard for my parents, I said to myself, you know, when I have kids, this poop is going to roll downhill. This crap is going to be paid forward. And now I'm doing it. So delegate it. Negotiate the delegation. If you don't want to empty the dishwasher because it brings up trauma from your childhood, then negotiate that with your partner. Negotiate the delegation. So when you have something verbalized or externalized and you want to avoid procrastination, which is weird because we do avoid, resist, defy, so I'm always careful about that. But when we want to stop procrastination, we have to delegate sometimes. Delegate a task. Sometimes we defer the task, usually when we're in an avoidance towards procrastination, or our procrastination is avoided, right? Well, I don't really have to get that done this weekend, so I can put it on next weekend, and I can go to Buffalo Wild Wings and enjoy a fun-filled afternoon with my family and follow a tradition. So we will often defer. The final thing is to decide. So when I say I need to get XYZ done, when I'm either avoiding, resisting, or defying, and it comes down to it, I have to make a mental decision. I'm going to get this done. I will verbalize and externalize, I'm going to get this done. When I verbalize and externalize it, I have accountability. I can get this done. If I cannot get it done, I want to be healthy and effective in my relationship, so I'm going to talk about what got in the way of me getting something done. What got in the way of me achieving this goal? Now, you've heard me talk a lot about healthy communication strategies, healthy coping strategies, healthy problem-solving strategies. Remember that what got in the way of you achieving the goal isn't another person, place, or thing. Problems are problems. So it's not that, oh, well, you asked me to go to the store with you and get this brand new table because we really, no, that's not a problem. That's not why you didn't get XYZ done. You didn't get XYZ done because you were avoiding it. And you made a decision to go with your wife because that was easier, better, more comfortable than getting XYZ done. If you had decided, no, I need to get XYZ done, I could have in a very healthy and effective way negotiated with my wife that I need to get XYZ done. I'd love to go with you to get the table, but I need to get this and this completed today. Here's why. Can we go for the table tomorrow? Now you're deferring. Could you go get the table on your own? Now you're delegating. Remember, folks, when we talk about mental wellness, it's a process. Lots of things going on. Or let me put it this way. When we're experiencing mental wellness, it's a process. Lots of things going on in the moment. When we talk about it on the radio, in therapy, podcasts, videos, it's linear. Procrastination, we all do it. We all engage in it. It's a part of life. When we think about what kind of a loser we are because we didn't get stuff done, that's a very unhealthy and highly ineffective behavioral, mostly cognitive response to procrastination. Remember, you have to figure out, am I avoiding, resisting, or defying? Because the more you resist or defy, the more pressure is on you, the harder it's going to be to find either a delegation, a deferment, or a decision to resolve that issue, that problem. Whether you're avoiding, resisting, or defying, verbalize it. Get it out there. Here's what I need to get done. Write it down and externalize it. Make a decision. Do I delegate this to someone else? Do I defer it? Or do you make a decision to work on that problem now? Do I get this done? It's a tough row to hoe if you're in a defiance mode. It's a tough hill to climb when you're resisting. But if you understand, you become aware of your resistance or your defiance, and you understand why you're resisting and defying. You understand the outcomes, what happens when you resist or defy. It is easier to find healthier and effective ways to deal with your procrastination. Wow. We only got through two topics today, one full hour and only two topics. I had so many other things I wanted to talk about today that were simply not going to get to, so they will be added to the next showgram. Remember, Marauder Radio for Mental Wellness Live airs every Sunday at 9 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio and here on the YouTube channel. There will always be a live YouTube stream, so please do not hesitate to join us live on the world's largest therapy couch, live from the Grumpy Gator Cafe Studios, where I, Bob Zima, your lunatic, lover, and poet, and host of Marauder Radio for Mental Wellness Live, is available, right? We can talk on the radio. You can call in. You can, even if you're watching live on the YouTube stream, you can call in. That's the beauty of it, folks. That is the beauty of it. So we have just a few minutes left, and I want to thank you for listening to the radio showgram today. And I look forward to talking to you again on the radio. Time for me to fly.
Here is done. I'm needed elsewhere now. I'm needed wherever outlaws rule the West. Wherever innocent women and children are afraid to walk the streets. Wherever a man cannot live in simple dignity. And wherever a people cry out for justice.
Bullshit!